Janae and Golden Jr., the podcast.
I think I can speak for everybody. Mina Kimes, myself, Shay Cornett, who's kind enough to hang out with us today. Thank you to everybody in the Dallas Cowboys organization for not only the last probably 2 years of headlines about this, but for giving us here on Janae and Golden Jr. on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, guest joining us on the Goodyear Hotline, a story to last a lifetime in the middle of usually what is a complete dead period in the NFL offseason.
Dead period in the NFL offseason. The NBA All-Star Game just happened, so there's a break in the NBA. So this was the perfect time for this kind of news. It eliminates distractions now in the Cowboys locker room. Dak Prescott can kind of sit pretty, hopefully get better, get ready for the season, but I'm just happy we don't have to talk about it anymore. I couldn't do this all the way through July again.
No, it was exhausting. I always compare everything, Shay, back to Deflategate. By the end of that whole saga, I was sick of it. Wake me up when you've decided something. Wake me up when you're suspending something. I'm sick of talking about PSI. I'm sick of talking about all these things relative to football. I was getting to this point, and so yesterday when it was announced that Dak Prescott signed a 4-year, $160 million contract that turns out to be 6 years with two void years. There's $126 million guaranteed, including $66 million due at signing. I was overjoyed in that level after having this thing drag on for so long.
Yeah, I was too. And I was happy for Dak. Look, this is a guy who has sat back and has he has watched his running back get paid, his wide receiver get paid, guys all over the football field get paid, not said a word, just went about his business. He got a franchise tag next year, goes down with an injury, and I legit had tears in my eyes watching him get carted off the field. I don't know Dak Prescott at all. I'm not a Cowboys fan at all, but I think just knowing what he's been through, and this wasn't a kid that was raised with a silver spoon. Like, he's been through some things, and I just think I'm happy for him. And you might think it's too much money, or maybe he hasn't proven that he's worth that much money, but here's what I know in the NFL. It is all about timing. And the timing worked out for Dak Prescott. Him and his agent set back and just let things go as it may be. And while this seems like a lot of money, that $37.7 million they would have owed him if they tagged him is a lot more money right now for the Dallas Cowboys. So this works out for everybody. And you know what? He's going to be a free agent at the age of 31. Mm. He'll probably get paid again.
And on the other side of what's expected to be a new TV deal at that point, this is the best case scenario for the sides of us that root for the players. And that generally tends to be where I fall. I know where a lot of us fall in this is rooting for the players. And to see a guy go out there, bet on himself, and then suffer that injury. And there's part of us looking back on it now where I can look at that moment as brutal as it was for us to all watch, seeing his teammates rally around him in that moment. That moment and what happened after it turned into a driving force, I think, that got this deal done. Not only the outpouring of emotion that we saw there, Shay, but I think you can make the argument that the Cowboys, having to see what life was like without him, having that forced on them, ended up being the thing that likely allowed Dak and his agent to sit back like that and say, all right, you're going to have to pay me eventually.
It's just so typical of Americans, isn't it? Like, just wait and see what it's like when I'm gone, and then we'll figure out the grass isn't greener. And I think, yes, that is exactly true with the Dallas Cowboys. You saw all the holes that he covered up in terms of offensive line issues, executing the offense, the way he's able to throw the football, scramble out of the pocket, all the things he was able to do to keep the Dallas Cowboys alive. I think we could all agree that if Dak never got hurt, who would win the NFC East?
It's probably the Cowboys.
It was going to be the Cowboys. And now there's a reason that you pay him this much money, because I think at the bare minimum, he's now set the Cowboys up to win the NFC East. You would assume he can, you know, bring them to the playoffs, win a playoff game or two. And eventually, as he matures and grows with this new coaching staff and all of his offensive weapons, and hopefully if the defense gets better, eventually bring this team to a Super Bowl. And I think that is the absolute hope for Dak Prescott. And that is the bare minimum, is just winning the division, which is a very winnable division. And I think he can do that.
Probably the most winnable in pro football.
Yes.
Janae and Golden Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're brought to you by Goodyear, celebrating March deal days with a month-long service and savings. Visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for offers. Mike Golic Jr., Shay Cornett sitting in for Chinay today. And Shay, this moves now from will they, won't they with the deal to what you just talked about there. Not only expectations, because we had Tim Collishaw on with us earlier. You see him on Around the Horn, the Dallas Morning News. say what a lot of people have said, that this is a bit of an overpay for Dak relative to what he has on paper accomplished versus his peers in the NFL. But I think there's another conversation to be had about concerns now for this team. And where are you at as far as concern for Dak specifically coming off injury? Because remember, we're not that far removed. Dak Prescott had repaired the compound fracture and dislocation of his right ankle. So how concerned are you for him coming off that injury in all of this?
Yeah, so first of all, I've actually had this exact same injury. Both legs wasn't the ankle. So I was going tanning one day. This was about like 9 years ago, Golic. I was going tanning one day, and I haven't gone tanning since this day, and you'll hear why. I was going to pay at the counter, so I wasn't actually in the tanning bed, and an older gentleman went to go pull into a parking spot and hit the gas instead of the brakes and went through the window and crushed my legs, okay? Totally crushed my legs. So I've had compound fractures, surgeries, pins, twisted things all different ways. Obviously, you see me. I can walk. I'm fine now. I am not a professional football player, and I'm not going to go through the same rehab Dak is. All this to say, here's what I know. Running is a little bit difficult. Having agility is a little bit more difficult, and I think he's going to work with the best of the best trainers. But when you think about how is he going to scramble out of the pocket, is he going to be ready for training camp? Is he going to be on the field when things start to rev up for the Dallas Cowboys this year? I would assume if you're paying your quarterback this much money, you're not going to rush him back. And so I think while we all sit here and think about the money, now the Cowboys need to sit back and think, how are we going to approach the money and the person? Because if we're going to pay him this much money, we are not rushing him back on the football field for any kind of football activities this year until he is 110% ready. And that might frustrate a lot of Dallas Cowboys fans, but that's just the reality of the situation. I wasn't playing in the National Football League, but I wanted to walk in heels. That's what I wanted to do. So I tried to wear heels before I was ready. And I am telling you, I had to go to therapy for an extra month because it made my ankle swell and I wasn't walking right. I wasn't I was balancing on one leg more than the other. Whatever. Point being, it is imperative that they take the right amount of time for him to heal in the way he needs to.
And I think that's a great point. That timetable in where the relationship now is between team and player, because that was one of, I think, the best signs for Cowboys fans before this deal took place was you heard Dak was in the building rehabbing.
Yeah.
Clearly, they were at a place where he was comfortable enough in the relationship to do that. And so now going forward, you took care of the money, which was the most adversarial situation you were going to find yourself in between quarterback and team. And you eliminated that so that now these guys can go out here and start to attack this rehab process and attack this offseason. I mean, for Mike McCarthy last year, the prospect of going into the year with your starting quarterback frustrated with his position, spending that offseason in this kind of weird back and forth that they were in, that's hell. And so it eliminates so many variables by doing that. Is there anything else about this team as you look at the Cowboys now, the biggest concern you have for them as a whole?
I mean, the defense. Yeah. There's no other way. The only place I'd look at this now is the defense. The coaching staff isn't going anywhere, and I'm talking about Mike McCarthy. Obviously, there were changes to the coordinators and whatnot, but I'm looking at Mike McCarthy to say, on the defensive side of the ball, we need to shore things up. We need to shore things up quick, and whoever can help me do that needs to help me, because we have now paid our franchise quarterback. Also, we need to make sure our running back's not turning the football over anymore. The fumbles need to be corrected. We need to make sure our receivers, I'm looking at you, CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, need to stop dropping footballs. Everyone's game needs to be elevated just a little bit. And I know Kevin Stefanski with the Browns recently told his players that exact thing. Like, hey guys, heading into this offseason, everyone needs to find a way to elevate their game just a little bit for next year. Figure it out during the offseason. That's what I'm tasking you with, and I hope and assume Mike McCarthy is going to do that, at least for the offense.
I think he's going to, and I think those pre-existing relationships make it a lot easier conversation on offense. Defense, you're going to have to learn another language again.
Yes.
You're going to have to refigure that out there with some highly paid parts that you have shelled out money for over there. But on offense, you mentioned the frustration we heard behind the scenes last year after Dak went out. You lost his voice in the locker room, which is as valuable as anything. I had an offensive coordinator who was with Dak at Mississippi State tell me that they made sure their offense huddled. We see so many college offenses go to the no huddle, go to the spread. He said, we huddled before every play because I wanted Dak Prescott, who's the best leader I've ever been around, to look each of the other 10 guys in the eye before every snap we went out there. That's the guy that's walking back into your offensive huddle now. That's the guy who's going to be better with his offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, and that relationship that those two have in that spot. And I think those relationships being intact are why Dak Prescott, I have very little concern about him walking back into the situation with the burden or expectations of a new contract.
Me either. He's been waiting for this payday.
He has. Listen, and he's not a first-round guy. That's always going to matter in this spot, how you come to it, because this was never something that was promised to Dak Prescott.
No. He's always kind of played with that chip on his shoulder, like, I'm not getting what I want. I'm not getting what I deserve. Well, now he's got what he wants and he deserves, and hopefully he'll play as such. But I don't think it'll be a problem for him either.
I don't think it's going to be a problem, but this is part of the process. We always talk about this. It's who's up next in the quarterback market, and are you in range? So coming up next, let's go to another quarterback who has at times had a very understandable chip on his shoulder and find out if that quarterback now directly benefits from what we've seen from Dak Prescott. We'll do it next here. Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Shea Cornett with us here on ESPN Radio.
Chenan and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Coming out with Dak Prescott now fully signed and getting to the money in his own right, as Shea Cornett said earlier today, backing up the Brinks truck in real life.
Real life.
I'd buy one. If I was that rich, if I was Dak rich, I would buy a Brinks truck just for that moment.
Do you know this? You probably do because you're very smart. Do you know that the drivers of Brinks trucks wear bulletproof vests?
Really?
Oh, you didn't know this.
I didn't know this. No.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, they do, which I totally get why.
I've seen enough heist movies, certainly, to know why. Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Shea Cornett, presented by Progressive Insurance. Yeah, I mean, I've seen every heist movie, and unfortunately, the driver of the Brinks truck is usually always in a very tough spot, but
yeah,
I did not know that.
They wear bulletproof vests.
Oh, you know what? That's good that they're thinking safety first.
Very
there.
Smart.
If
I know.
If you're going to be around all of Dak Prescott's money, you better protect it in that spot.
That is true.
We're going to try and help you get Dak Prescott money, Joe Fortenbaugh, ESPN Bets, ESPN Daily Wager that you guys see, that crew out in California. Shea, your husband, Jordan, I hear him talking all the time, giving out his gambling tips in here. So maybe we can help him do a little bit better. So,
and here's the problem. He was on a little bit of a losing streak the last 2 weeks. So I went on our radio show on Sunday and I'm like, that's it. It's my turn. I'm the one that's going to make all the picks. I got one right. I made five picks. I went 1 for 5.
Oh. Man.
1 for 4.
You tried to call your, tried to get up there and Babe Ruth call
that's
your
why,
shot.
Yeah, that's why I don't. I just, I'll let him make the mistakes. I'll go buy shoes or something.
You know what? That is, again, of the many places you and I see eye to eye, and Shea mentioned you can catch her and her husband, Jordan Cornett, Sundays on ESPN Radio, game day here at 1 p.m. Eastern. Our love affair of shoes. We'll go out and buy the shoes. Let someone else worry about the gambling to get us there.
You want
to
work hard and spend your money that way? That's you, okay? I'm going to go buy shoes.
And if you do, Joe Fortenbaugh is going to be with us here in about 10 minutes to help you out in that endeavor here. But we've talked so much about Dak Prescott, Shea, and it's only right that in classic NFL fashion, we take this moment that we've all been celebrating for 24 hours and immediately try to spin it to the next guy here.
Of course.
Because this is the quarterback game. We heard Tim Collishaw come on with us and say, like many people, that he thought this is a bit of an overpay, but this is what happens. The quarterback that's up next in a certain range, that top 5 to top 10 range, is going to demand this kind of money, especially when you win a game of franchise tag chicken with your franchise. I look at Lamar Jackson now from the Baltimore Ravens here. In that last class of quarterbacks here, Lamar's coming up on year 4, so the last year of his rookie deal before that fifth-year option can kick in. How much do you think this Dak Prescott deal does affect what's coming up next for Lamar?
Hugely, hugely. I think, as you said, this is all about timing. But here's what I know about quarterbacks in the NFL. You spend your entire life as a franchise looking for a franchise quarterback. And you could say that they're easy to find or you tank. And no, they're not, okay? They're not. And take it from me, a Chicago Bears fan who has spent her whole life looking for that franchise quarterback. They're very, very hard to find. And when you find one, if they're not Patrick Mahomes, that's okay. Patrick Mahomes is an anomaly. If they're not Tom Brady, that's okay. Again, an anomaly. But when you find one that is and can be and can bring you to the playoffs and can help you win playoff games and ultimately you have a dream of the Super Bowl every single year, you got to hold on to him and you got to pay him. That is why guys like Eli Manning were at the top of their game for a long time. Derek Carr, who hasn't won a Super Bowl or really done much in the playoffs, was the highest paid quarterback for a time. It's all about timing with these guys, and if you believe in them and you believe they're the guy that can carry you over the hump and help you win football games, they're going to get paid as such when it's their time. So to say that this doesn't matter when it comes to Lamar Jackson is BS.
It is. It's complete BS because this is all the next stepping stone there. And you're right. It's also an understanding of value in this market. Dan Orlovsky, our great ESPN NFL analyst, came on the show with us a while back, and I'd heard him make the comp to real estate in here. You might love a house, but are you going to drastically overpay for it in a certain area? And I think actually using that analogy, yes, sometimes you are.
What
in
do we
a certain
always
spot.
Say with real estate? Location, location, location. You're going to pay more for the one in good location than you are somewhere else, of course.
And especially if it's in the right location and it's got good schools by it here and it's an area you already like, some of your friends are around there, you're going to ignore a certain amount of the flaws of that and understand the price tag that goes along with it is going to jump up a little more. And I think the best sign, because this Dallas Cowboys experience to me should be a learning exercise for every other front office in the NFL to know and understand the value at that position and get there sooner than later. Now, we've seen teams like Los Angeles and the Rams get burned going to Jared Goff too soon, Carson Wentz and the Eagles, that three-year spot. But for Lamar Jackson, it sounds like going into year four, this franchise already has a very clear understanding, Shea, of what it has in their quarterback and is not content, I think, too smart to make the mistake that Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys just did.
And I'm going to go a step further. Not only is this going to impact Lamar Jackson, this is going to highly impact guys like Josh Allen, like Baker Mayfield, that have proven now with a little bit of stability, at least in Cleveland, that they are franchise quarterbacks that can take their teams to the next level. These guys are going to get paid. And if you're going to sit back and say, oh, this doesn't really matter, this isn't going to affect those, it is. It is. Because Dak Prescott had to sit back and watch everyone around him get paid. And he had to just take the back seat and keep it quiet, and it ended up working in his favor. And I think a lot of these quarterbacks are going to learn from that and they're going to move forward. Now, where I think teams are going to have a little bit of cold feet is when it comes to a Jared Goff situation or a Carson Wentz situation where maybe you haven't seen that full body of work. But I think we've seen the body of work from Dak Prescott. We've seen it now from Josh Allen, how he's evolved over multiple years. We've seen it now from Baker Mayfield, how he's matured and grown with a new coaching staff in place and with a team that now he understands. So I think it's just more the body of work than it is the amount of the contract.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And for Lamar Jackson, going back to him, he's already got an MVP in his young career.
And he won that playoff game this year.
He started to check off all those boxes, yeah. And the rest are going to have to be things that this team addresses in this spot. It's about at the quarterback creating stability for the rest of your franchise. Jerry Jones and the Cowboys tried to reverse engineer it. They tried to build everything else in the house, but they didn't have the foundation all set up, and they watched it crumble last year when you took that away. But for the Baltimore Ravens, who I think are one of the smarter, more forward-thinking franchises in the NFL, when you listen to Eric DeCosta, their general manager for the Baltimore Ravens, at their press conference, when asked about this very situation, how Dak's contract affects Lamar Jackson, I think his answer tells you a lot about where they're headed.
Back to Dak Prescott's contract, you know, he turned down a deal, you know, and kind of bet on himself and went through the tag situation. And even though he got hurt, he ultimately got a lot more money than what they initially offered. Is watching that play out, does that change your math and approach to dealing with Lamar at all?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Every negotiation is different. Every player is different. Every GM is different. And we have a strategy and we have a relationship. That doesn't really affect me. Lamar's played 3 years, and you know what? He's a good player. We feel really good about him. I think he feels really good about us. And it's up to us to get a deal done.
Can I just add this? This is also what DeCosta said, and I love this quote because I think it is so true. He also said, if you go to the Bentley dealership or the Range Rover dealership, you know what cars are going to cost. You're not going to get much of a discount. True with quarterbacks, okay? You're not going to find a way around it. You got to pay them.
That's, to me, the clearest illustration of this. When you know you've got something that's valuable like that, you know what it's going to cost to keep them around, but you don't want to live in that other world. You see around the NFL what it looks like to live in that other world, and it ain't pretty.
It's not. It's not. As MJ said, they're still rebuilding in Chicago.
Yes.
I mean, come on. We've seen rebuilding. It doesn't always go the way you want, and it starts at the quarterback position in the NFL.
Hang on for dear life. Hell, that's why we see teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers hanging on for dear life at the good thing they've had for so long at that position.
Grass isn't always greener.
Saying goodbye is hard sometimes, but saying hello and saying, Mr. Prescott, we have your $66 million due at signing, that's a lot easier to stomach. So coming up next, how does all that money coming out for Dak Prescott affect the money coming into Las Vegas next year for the Dallas Cowboys? We will ask an expert next here on Janae Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., Shea Cornett here on ESPN Radio.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuemeke off conquering the world today as usual
as
here.
Usual.
It's just it's what she does. She's re-signing with the LA Sparks. First take, her take. We saw the takeover yesterday. And, finds time to come in here and hang out with me for reasons I still haven't quite figured out.
That's okay. You don't need to know.
I don't need to know.
Take what you can get.
Shea Cornett, kind enough to hang out with us here right now. You can hear her Sunday afternoons on ESPN Radio, 1 p.m. Eastern. Game day with her husband, Jordan Cornett, who you also can see on ESPN2, the ACC network covering college hoops. Just walked into the studio here and looking dapper, Shea, and picked out the outfit all by himself.
I know normally he comes to me before he goes into the studio, and there are sometimes some atrocious decisions being made. And today, dressed himself, looks very sharp, looks really nice. He must be out of clothes. There must be one outfit left. I need to pick up the dry cleaning, probably. That's probably the situation.
I was going to say, there's a deeper message hidden in all of this right now.
100%.
But Jordan Cornett going to be breaking down basketball on a screen near you, looking very dapper tonight. One of our great ESPN
handsome.
College hoops analysts here. But we know the big news of the day has been Dak Prescott still getting big paid out in Dallas, a contract that pays him $66 million at signing, $126 million guaranteed. And we're seeing that money come out. I'm interested to see now where the money goes from there. And for more on that, we're delighted to head to the Goodyear Hotline, where Joe Fortenbaugh, our ESPN Daily Wager analyst, joins us now. And Joe, I am curious now. Monday, we had that news. Dak Prescott, it breaks late yesterday afternoon. How was that? And have we seen any effect already in Las Vegas when it comes to the betting odds going into 2021?
It may come as a total surprise, but no, we haven't seen any movement whatsoever. And for very good reason. It was already pretty much assumed in the eyes of bookmakers that Dak Prescott was going to be back with the Cowboys in one of two ways. One, he was either going to get hit with the franchise tag for a second consecutive year, or two, the team and Prescott were going to come to terms on a long-term contract, which is what happened Monday. So this was already baked into the line. Cowboys are still the -105 favorites to win the NFC East, which means risk $105 to win $100 in that situation. They are 13-1 to win the NFC. There are six teams ranked ahead of them: Tampa Bay, Green Bay, the Rams, the Niners, the Seahawks, and the Saints. And then you have the Cowboys. And then they're 28-1 to win the Super Bowl. That is tied for 11th. So they're in a position that a lot of people would assume, given the fact that they do struggle in a few key areas outside of quarterback.
Okay, Joe, so would you bet the Cowboys to win the NFC East?
I absolutely would not, for a couple reasons. Number one, born and raised right outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I hate the Cowboys. So to put money on the Cowboys goes against my DNA and the way I was born. But that doesn't mean I haven't done it before. Which leads me to key reason number two. I don't like the pricing one bit. At -105 as the favorites, you better show me something more than Dak Prescott at quarterback, because I like Prescott. Prescott was on pace last year to set the single season record for all-time passing yards. The problem is that giving Dak Prescott a long-term deal doesn't solve Dallas's two biggest problems. One, it's defense. Two, it's coaching. Defense was terrible last year. And from a coaching perspective, Mike McCarthy was supposed to have learned something during his absence after he left Green Bay. But last year, his end of game and end of half management scenarios leave a lot to be desired. So no, I'm not going to lay 105 with Dallas. I'll tell you who I'll play, and that's Washington. I played them when they were just above 4-1. They had the worst odds in the division. But that's changed. They are now tied with the Giants at +350 for the second best odds in the division. They've got the best or the second best defense in the division, depending on what you think of the Giants. They got the best head coach with Ron Rivera. They can protect up front. They've got young players who are very talented at the key skill positions. They closed really strong last year, went 5-2 over their last seven games, and they finished with a 7-9 record, but they had a +6 scoring differential. That's more indicative of a .500 team than a 7-9 team. There are a lot of advanced metrics pointing to that team taking another step forward. From what I heard, they were aggressive in trying to go after Matthew Stafford, so I think they want to upgrade that quarterback position as well. I would take a good long look at the Washington football team.
Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Joe Fortenbaugh, co-host of the Daily Wager on ESPN. And listen, all of those advanced analytics are definitely things that Mike McCarthy was learning, supposedly, that last offseason before going into that Dallas job. But Joe, while we've got you here, we're also getting ready to head into college basketball, the real big glut of the season. Conference tournaments coming up right now. We're just talking about Jordan Cornett, who's been helping cover the ACC tournament. Plenty of that hoops. As we look at the ACC, is Virginia right now, who has been one of the top teams in that league all year, the favorite to win that conference tournament?
I believe they're sitting there as the favorite. They are the number one seed. A lot of people like Florida State. A lot of people like North Carolina based on what they saw this past weekend against Duke. I would caution against North Carolina. They play their best basketball coming off a loss. They tend to get a little bit, I don't want to use the word arrogant, but sometimes off some big wins, you see some key letdown spots for them. I'm taking a good long look at Georgia Tech. Now, what you want to do with Georgia Tech is you want to shop around. They're as low as 7-1 at Caesars William Hill, who we're partnered with at ESPN. But outside of that, you can find better prices on the market. They won six straight games and they covered the spread in all six of those games heading into the tournament, which got them the coveted double bye. They're ranking the top 25 in adjusted offense, top 60 in adjusted defense. They can make free throws. They can knock down three-pointers, and they're really smooth when it comes to turnovers. They are one of the best turnover teams in the country. They got marquee wins over FSU, the Tar Heels, the Hokies, and Syracuse. I like them, and I think they're well-coached under Josh Pastner. I think with the way Virginia's coming into the tournament, I believe they've lost 3 of 5. There's some opportunity on the top half of that bracket for Georgia Tech to get by Virginia and then find themselves in the finals where you could possibly hedge off your bet.
Okay, so is that the best way to bet Georgia Tech?
Great question. No. And the same thing goes for some other teams I might drop on you if we work our way through this interview. When it comes to conference championship odds, you're not getting good prices when it comes to the bookmakers. You really aren't. Georgia Tech at 7-1 is not a fair price. And if you look at some other shops that might have them 10-1, 12-1, that's not a fair price. These are not fair markets for the betting people. So there's another thing you can do when it comes to some of the longer shots here. It's called a rollover money line parlay. If you've ever heard of a scenario where a guy's won like 10 games in a row betting, and someone will say, well, if you had put $100 on game one and rolled it over through all 10, you would now be up $1,150,000. And we all go, oh, that's incredible. Why didn't we do that? Because who would do that? We didn't see a 10-game winning streak coming. But instead of playing a team like Georgia Tech at 7-1, or instead of playing, say, Kentucky in the SEC at 18-1, rollover moneyline parlay. Play them on the money line. Don't worry about the spread. Just play them to win. And if they do, take your winnings and your initial investment and do it again. Roll it over to the next game and then roll it over again. And if you roll it over all the way through the tournament, you will get paid a hell of a lot more than 18-1 on Kentucky, which is what the bookmakers are offering you. It's kind of a mechanical way of doing things, but the rollover money line parlay is a way to exact best possible value with some of these longer shots.
Trying to get the best possible value is what we're all about around here.
Got it.
Make sure everyone's putting some money in their pockets. Joe Fortenbaugh and the crew over at the Daily Wager are going to make sure they're getting you right on this. Joe, we appreciate the time. We appreciate the insight. And I know the Cornette household appreciates some good intel
That's
on
true.
All this stuff heading into the weekend. Thanks, man.
The Cornette household's the best. I remember talking to them over Christmas. They can't get enough gambling going on. I love you guys.
Thank
Have
you.
A good one. Thanks for having me on.
Let's see. Joe, thank you for exposing me. I appreciate that. He's like, this household is always betting the dollars they're earning at ESPN.
I was going to say, thank you for funding this. And,
yeah.
You know, hopefully it...
Hopefully we win some.
Exactly. I was going to say, listen, last weekend, but a bump in the road for the Cornette family. Again, if you're tuning into Game Day on ESPN Radio from 1 to 5 Eastern on Sunday, better days are on the horizon.
Thank you. Yes. And Sunday was actually a big turning point for my husband. We're actually on the up and up, so that's a good thing. We need to keep that same energy.
Keep that same energy is exactly what we're going to do next. Why the Royal Highness herself had to come off the mat and let people know what was up. A response from not only British Twitter, but Britain itself to one of the biggest events in the country yesterday. We'll do that next. Janae Golick Jr., Mike Golick Jr., and Shea Cornette with us on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. with you guys today. We'll have Chinne Ogwumike back with us tomorrow, but we have been so pumped to have Shea Cornette with us holding it down all day today. Thanks, Shea.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been fun. It's been real. We covered a lot of ground, learned a lot about some people.
We did. We learned a lot about some people during the course of this day, where they stand on things like games of tag, what you can do or what you're allowed to do in a Cold Stone Creamery.
Yeah, it's important information to know.
It is all important information. By the way, if you want to listen to Shea Cornette, you can hear her on Sirius XM NFL alongside my former head coach, Charlie Weiss.
I know. Charlie Weiss is my buddy. He's the best.
He is an absolute gem, as well as on Game Day on ESPN Radio, 1 to 5 Eastern every Sunday with her husband, Jordan Cornette, who's around here doing a great job covering college hoops for us all across the network. But We have gotten to a lot of subjects, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. We still have some very important things on the docket. So, Shay, are you ready to keep that same energy?
I'm more than ready.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Shay, keeping that same energy is brought to you by Indeed. If you're hiring, start finding the right people right away. Visit Indeed.com/credit. And if you're looking to hire somebody, we got some new one on the market. Or should I say an old new friend on the market here. Someone that both of us know pretty well. Former Chicago Bears offensive lineman Kyle Long announced today that he plans to unretire and play in the NFL 2021 season. ESPN confirmed on Tuesday. Long retired in January of 2020 after seven seasons in the NFL, injury-filled ones at times in Chicago. But you and I have both gotten a chance to meet and interact with Kyle and really hope for the best. Hopefully this dude is as healthy and as ready to go as he sounds.
I mean, that's the most important thing. He had to walk away, I think, because there were a lot of reasons, but the main one was being he just couldn't stay healthy. He didn't feel good. His body didn't feel right. It was a really short retirement for Kyle Long. I think he realized that he wants to get back into football quickly, with the quickness, as we say. And hopefully the NFL welcomes him back with open arms. It's going to be weird to see him in a different jersey besides the Chicago Bears, because that's what we've all grown to see. So we'll see where he ends up. But I'm happy for him. And he's lost some LBs now. You know a thing or two about that.
I do. The difference is Kyle's lost them and is going to be a 315-pound freak with abs playing offensive line for a team near you. I'm just trying to see if there is even an ab exists under there.
This dude was eating rice cakes during our meeting earlier. And I'm like, what has happened to you?
I have fallen off so far. Best of luck to Kyle. Seattle Seahawks. He played his college football at Oregon. I'm not saying, but I'm just saying, if you're always looking for help.
Especially since apparently, according to Russell Wilson, that offensive line needs whatever they can get.
Listen, we're killing a lot of birds with one stone here. Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Keeping that same energy. So, Shay, you are like us. You watched the interview with Oprah.
Like you. Like the rest of the world.
That is true.
Like, Shay, you're just like me. You watched the interview. No, the whole world watched that interview.
Shay and I were the only ones that took in Oprah Winfrey interviewing Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, the interview that rocked everybody, and finally prompted a response from Buckingham Palace. So we got this statement on behalf of the Queen about the allegations made. We heard things, racist allegations, all made in this. And so this was the response. Quote, "The whole family is saddened to learn the full extent of how challenging the last few years have been for Harry and Meghan. The issues raised, particularly that of race, are concerning. While some recollections may vary, they are taken very seriously and will be addressed by the family privately." The statement adds, "Harry, Meghan, and their son Archie will always be much loved family members." Shay, you buying this?
Sort of. What I want is for Buckingham Palace, the Queen, everyone involved to keep that same energy. Let's act like we're a loving family and we rally around one another and we fix their problems when they have them. You could take what you want from that interview and you can spin it how you want. Here's what I think we can all agree on. There's some sort of disconnect there. Someone wasn't listening to someone else. There were a lot of different problems that no one was seeing eye to eye on. And now hopefully this does open people's eyes at Buckingham Palace and they can move forward and work together as a family.
And that will be interesting because these are long-standing monarchies we're talking about here, very rigid glaciers when it comes to moving and changing.
Yeah.
Going to be very interested to see if they can adjust in 2021. I don't know if I'd bet on it, but I know I would bet on this being successful, Shay.
Oh, no.
I'm looking around on Twitter as we're getting ready for this segment, and I see Cocaine Bear trending, and I say, okay, I'll bite. Better than I could have ever expected. Elizabeth Banks is set to direct a bear-centric thriller, Cocaine Bear, for Universal. The film is based on the true events from 1985. A 175-pound bear accidentally consumed over 70 pounds of cocaine that was dropped from a plane by a smuggler. I don't know if I'm getting got by the internet, but I've never wanted to believe anything is getting made so badly, Shay.
In my mind, we've all lost our minds during quarantine. Like, I'm looking at this topic and you telling me about this movie, and I'm like, is this what we've resorted to? Aren't there other true stories that we can maybe look into besides Cocaine Bear?
I mean, I'm
here for it, but
I would say you're going to see Cocaine Bear.
I mean, I guess. If I'm coming back on this show, I certainly have to.
That's a fair point. Hopefully, you'll be on the show again a lot sooner than that. But at some point, we will have to have Shay Cornett back on to break down all the intricacies of Cocaine
Bear. Seems like such a reach, especially as a redo. Are you like hiring a bear?
I was going to say, hopefully.
Cast?
Is the bear in SAG? How does this work exactly?
Does he have to pay dues?
Is it a union bear?
Yeah.
We'll figure all these out. Shea, thank you so much for hanging out
Thanks
with us.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Again, check out Game Day 1 to 5 Eastern on ESPN Radio every Sunday. Coming up next, Spain and Fitz going to maybe break down Cocaine Bear also on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.